What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at apologiaradio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
Non-rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy? Or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
Oh!
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
What's up, y'all? This is Apologia Radio. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com, guys. Also, subscribe to us on iTunes. You can go to the iTunes search bar, look up Apologia Radio, and you can get all the past episodes via subscription for free. But I want to encourage you guys, as our listeners of Apologia Radio, I want you guys to go to ApologiaRadio.com. Go there, find an episode that's one of your favorites, and share one of those episodes with your social networks. Let the world know about Apologia Radio as we proclaim the gospel to the world and defend the faith, helping us to know what we believe, why we believe it. And we're in the studio today with the bear and the girl. What's up, y'all?
What up?
Hi.
Hi. What's up? How you guys doing? Doing good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, things are good?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
How about you?
I'm doing great. So, how's your week been, Joy? Good girl? Good? I was saying that we receive emails all the time and from around the world, and I got an email from somebody who was like, oh man, like the girl's comments last week were just amazing, like just so blessed by her. The girl. It's like, I'm so totally sorry, I forgot what her name is again. But the name by the girl. That's why we have the nicknames.
The
Bear, the girl, and the ninja. That's just what people know us by.
Yeah. No, it's not.
So we are back today, second episode on kind of the same topic. We'll see where we go from here. We did an episode last week. You can check it out at apologiaradio.com. It aired all over Arizona and internationally. And it's up on our Facebook page. You can go to Apologia Radio on Facebook, like the page. You can check out the episode. We put our episode up responding to a video from someone named Natural Mama on YouTube, who had a video that said, I love abortion, exclamation point. Those were her chosen words.
Yes.
By the way, I love abortion, exclamation point, in support of Emily Letts. We did an episode responding to it. We actually placed her video, original video, up on our page. We placed our episode up, and then she actually responded, or it was an attempted response, with her husband and, I guess, a friend, a family friend, And so they responded. We actually placed that up on our wall as well. It's about an hour and a half long. And so we figured today we would get together and we would do we would finish up the original video. We did the show and we ran out of time. So we got about 4 or 5 minutes into the episode or into her clip. And so we wanted to finish up the clip to respond to some of the other arguments that she made. And she, in her response itself, said that, you know, they didn't even get to my best argument, which is the bodily autonomy argument. I was actually upset when we left that we didn't get to the bodily autonomy argument because I thought that was actually one of the glaring examples of inconsistencies in her position.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was actually kind of upset we didn't get to it, but we plan on getting to it anyway. So here we go. Today we're going to do it. Not a lot of value to playing through the full hour and a half that they created on a Google Hangout. It's difficult. The audio is just wretched. Not necessarily her fault. It's just difficult on Google Hangouts to have good audio like that. And there's a lot of noise going on, so it wouldn't make for very good radio to play the screaming and the yelling and also the laughing and the mockery.
Yeah.
There's not a lot to get through. So what we're going to do is we will actually put up that response video again on our page. We're going to put it and load it into the actual page on Apologia Radio this episode is on. Here's what I'm going to say before we go into today's episode, all the things we're going to do. I want to strongly encourage you to go, and it's difficult to get through, but at least look through, scrub through the video response. Here's why I strongly recommend it. Her video response to our episode. It is a clear display of what happens when you get the unbelieving world out of the woods and you bring them into the light to actually have to engage in some rational thought and combat their position, because you will see, I think, in the clearest way possible, what happens when you get someone that holds to the position of our culture, the culture of death, when they have these common arguments, for example, reproductive rights, the bodily autonomy argument, and all the different things that she brings up in her video, which, by the way, I want to say this, the reason we chose her video was because obviously that is a very interesting title to put on a video. I think a lot of pro-choicers and pro-aborts would not be favorable to using that sort of a title. I think she's even taken maybe some heat from it. I don't know. I'm assuming there are pro-choice people that would say, no, I don't think you should be acting like that about it.
Yeah.
So we chose it because of the title. But also, if you pack together this video of 9 minutes, you essentially have the common display, refrain, argumentation of what our culture sort of propagates when it comes to the issue of abortion.
Yeah.
That's why we chose the video. Now, their response in the Google Hangout, I have a hard time saying we should even spend any more time on this. Joy and I were talking about this last night. I have a difficult time saying we should spend any more time on her particular videos because it's not worthy of engagement. And when I say that, I want you guys to go to where you downloaded this episode from, go to our radio page, listen to her talk, listen to her discussion in response to our show. It's an hour and a half long. People said they had a hard time. They ended up giving up because it was just nothing but laughing and mockery. And for the major points we were making, they would literally sit silent through them. And they wouldn't say anything.
Or for the major points, they would just be talking over them, laughing over them.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, we would start to say something and then they would start commenting over it and they couldn't actually hear us addressing exactly what they were talking
about
underneath them. And that's just not how, I mean, we've talked about this on this radio show before, how you engage someone when you're going through social media or the internet or Google Hangout, whatever you want to call it. You respond to people in a way that you would respond as if they were sitting right in front of you.
Right.
And I really don't think I'm going to give Natural Mama the benefit of the doubt and say that if her and I were sitting in a coffee shop and I was talking, she wouldn't just be like, ha, 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 da, 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 over me.
Yeah.
I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt because most people are at least reasonable enough to do that, even if she got passionate and maybe interrupted me, but she wouldn't just let me talk for an hour and a half and just talk over me.
Right.
Yeah. It just doesn't happen that way. So that's not the type of thing that that's another reason why we're kind of considering it not really worth it to respond, because it's not really a conversation.
Yeah.
And I mean, for that same reason, we've ended many conversations with people, not because we can't take the heat or whatever, but just because It's not engagement
yeah.
proper.
Yeah, and mind you, we are going to engage with our major points.
Yeah.
So listen calmly to this, Natural Mama. We are going to engage your points.
Yeah.
Playing your video ultimately is not worthwhile because it's just honestly, and I mean this with love and respect and grace to you, everything that's due here, it's not radio worthy in a sense. It's mm-hmm. it's just a mess.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mess of mockery, loudness, pauses that are just, you know, it's just chaos. It just doesn't make for good radio. And so we are going to respond at least to the points that we actually can. You didn't mm-hmm. offer any responses to our biological arguments. You, when we were giving you the sled argument, you stayed silent through the majority of it, or you would start to respond to an issue that we were actually addressing right after you said mm-hmm. your response. And so you didn't offer any response. There is no response. And if anybody wants to doubt that, question that, I want to encourage you with all my heart, go to where we post these responses. We're going to give you the full video. Look at it. Download it. Reason through it. Want you to see it for yourself. So we're going to do that today on Apologia Radio. And the reason why is because the culture of death is predominant today in the American culture, at least in the media and from the top down. At least you have a lot of the defense of the culture of death. Life is not so valuable in today's world. Murdering a child is something that's accessible and easy and understood and celebrated in many ways. And so we're going to deal with that today in Apology Radio. So at least our listeners are armed and equipped with the proper tools to respond to what are ultimately just very bad arguments. Pastor Luke.
Well, let me say this too. If you do go watch her response video, if you have high blood pressure, I wouldn't watch it. And if you don't have high blood pressure, you may have high yeah. blood pressure after watching it.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Also, if you think you're sinless and perfect, maybe watch it and yeah. be humbled.
Yes. And we want to say let's lay this down at the bottom. Natural Mama, we want you to know that we have 100% respect for you as an image bearer of God. We have love for you. We have concern for you. I have been praying for you this week. Not high and mighty prayers like how underneath me you somehow are, but prayers for God to open your eyes to his truth. We pray that the grace of God finds you as it found us. We are not better than you. We are not more worthy of God than you. We're not. We're sinners. We're wretches. We're fallen. And so are you. You're fallen. You're in sin. And it's that sin that creates the obstacle between you and the truth. It's your sin that creates the obstacle between you and an intimate relationship of peace and forgiveness with God. And so when we respond to you, know this. This to us is not a game. This to us is not a parlor game. This to us is life and death. This to us concerns you and your well-being and the well-being of those around us. It's love for God and love for others that compels us to give a response like this. This is not about simply a radio program, a response, something fun to do. This is not a game to us. Your life is valuable to us. You mean a lot to us. And we pray that God would soften your heart and that God would open your eyes to his truth and that you would abandon not just these bad arguments in support of the murder of children. We pray that you abandon your sin to come into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, to know him and be reconciled to God through faith in him as a gift of his grace. Jesus died for sinners, he rose from the dead, and you can find life in him. And that's what we pray for you. We do not want you to remain enemy or to be seen as enemy. We'd love to one day call you sister, family, under the same grace and peace that we have with God. This is Apologia Radio, guys. You can get us at apologiaradio.com. Make sure you guys stay with us for what I think is going to be an exciting episode. And we're also, by the way, when we come back, going to deal with Flabby Pack Radio, Fanny Pack Radio's last response about us.
Right back.
Don't nobody know my trouble but God. Don't nobody know my trouble but God.
That's Luke the Bear, Joy the Girl. You know what we noticed I don't even know why you're laughing right now, but
what's
it's crazy.
Going on over there?
Joyce just lost her mind over there for a second. So people have often missed the connection between Apologia Church on YouTube and Apologia Radio. So we'll have people, like we had guys show up last night to church from like California that were in town, and they wanted to meet us. But their only real connection was with Apologia Church on YouTube. So all the videos and sermons and everything up there. But so it's weird. You're either in the camp where like you've been listening to Apologia Radio, you've never really been to the YouTube stuff, or vice versa. So here's the deal. Like, make the connection. Go to YouTube and listen to the sermons, the audio, the discussions we have with Mormons, atheists, Jehovah's Witnesses, what have you, that are up there, the sermons that are there. And go to apologiaradio.com. Make sure you guys check out both of them. They're really, as for our church's goal with these things, is really an opportunity for us to minister to the world, to really speak the truth of the gospel into the world, and to engage the world with the gospel. And so really it's part of the teaching arm, proclaiming arm of our church. And just check them out. I think you'd really be blessed by them. That's really why they're built that way. So, Joy, what is it that you've lost your mind about today? What is it?
There was a really, really funny thing that, I mean, it wouldn't ever translate to radio, but you guys should all look at, on BuzzFeed, it's Jude Law wears deepest V-neck ever to be seen in public. It's just hilarious.
Is it really deep?
Yeah.
Is it down his belly hole?
No, but you can it's definitely past, like, the nipple line.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is this a real picture, or is it...
Can I say that word on radio?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Nipple.
It's uncomfortable.
Nipple.
But it's just hilarious.
It can be said.
Like I said, not translate. Look, God, doesn't translate to radio, but just please go look at it.
Yeah.
There's one part where it just says, like, wow. It's like, it literally goes as long as a giraffe's neck, and they've just photoshopped a giraffe's neck next to it. Or, like, as deep as the scary part of the ocean, and they just photoshop a part of the ocean next to it. I don't know. Just go look at it.
It definitely shows man cleavage.
Yeah. They're, like, all of it.
Yeah.
You know, the cleavage.
One thing I want to say to Natural Mama, just this is a friendly kind of discussion here real fast as we talk about this. A lot of the stuff you were saying on the show, that your response, like you were like kind of like dogging us, like, oh, we're drinking alcohol, so like we're evil, and you know our kids are laughing. Oh, it's so bad the kids are laughing. I think you really need to get to know some people, some Christians, because my only problem with what you were drinking was the quality of it. I saw a can and some yellow substance, and so you know we would probably have a great conversation with you about quality.
Was it even yellow? I thought it was Zima.
Zima, nice, with a Jolly Rancher. So, just get to know some Christians. Hey, did you know that, and we'll talk about this another time, but the Puritans, people talk about the Puritans, like, you know, that's puritanical. Do you know that the Puritans actually, in some instances, had more beer on their boats to come over than they had water? They were more fans of the beer than they were the water. Now, I'm not sure that's the direction I would have gone.
Yeah.
With having that, I would have probably like, no, let's maybe stock up on the water.
You know, water could be considered important.
Just in casey. But yeah, so that Puritans love their beer.
Isn't
that cool, huh? Amen. Yeah, we're essentially neo-puritanical. I mean, post-millennial, Calvinistic. We are Reformed. We do love a beer. Yeah, now and again. Now and then and again. So, yeah, we're not drunkards. Nothing like that, so don't worry about that. But, yeah, anyway, Pastor Luke, what's up with that?
Before I play that, I want to tell you a quick story.
All right, story time with Pastor Luke.
I told Joy already, but you were going PB time.
Gillis just got it. Our sound guy in the back, Gillis, his brow is furrowed. Like, what?
Joy just laughed so hard her headset fell off.
He's not really loose head. This is a loose head. I don't have this one.
This is really loose head. This is loose head.
Anywho. Okay, anyway. So this morning, my wife was doing Bible study with my daughter, Evie.
Just to let you guys know, this is going to make you cry. So if you're driving, pull over.
And so I don't know what story it was, but Cheryl was telling her that some people believe in pretend gods. And so I said, hey, Eve, you remember that time we went to the temple? And she was like, yeah. I said, well, they believe in a pretend god, so we got to go tell them about the real god. And she looked at me and she goes, you know what? I have a good idea. Let's go back to the temple. And I was like, yeah. She goes, yeah, that would be a good idea. There was Jesus real high on the big tall building stage, and they had ice cream in a cup.
Yeah.
It was awesome. My wife's like bawling, and I was like, yes.
Yeah. And there was ice cream.
Let's go back. Yeah. Let's go back to the temple.
To tell him about God. And there was the ice cream thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we get to it, maybe.
That's just like blessing. Yeah. God's providence right there. Bam, Dairy Queen right next to the temple.
That's right.
Okay. That's my story.
Are you ready for this, guys? So everyone knows we've got a little friendly situation going on with Fanny Pack Radio as my new name I just came up with today, just sort of off the cuff, Flabby Pack Radio. You got Vocab Malone, Pastor Bob, Pastor V, do we even say anything about them anymore? Does it ever even come up?
No.
I mean, do we talk about Flabby Pack? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's not like we build like fake fan pages for Fanny Pack Radio or something like that, you know.
It's not like we cross out their name on their mailbox and write Fanny Pack.
It is still crossed out right there.
Yeah.
It still does have. No, I think, look, someone's trying to scratch it out. That was Vocab.
They got their, it looks like they took their Fanny Pack out of the box, though.
Okay, so they were talking smack.
Yeah.
Right?
Did you say Pastor V-neck?
Pastor V-neck? Very good. Pastor Urkel?
Okay, so, which, by the way, they're notorious for this. They stole another one of our guests.
I know. I know. This is what they do.
Yeah.
So we should have nicknames for them. We have our nicknames. We should have nicknames for them. We should have...
Oh, my gosh. We have 2 minutes.
We should have Urkel, Pastor V.
We already got the Godfather, Bob Corleone.
The Godfather. And I don't know. What should I think it'd be more appropriate to call Vocab Ice Vocab. Because, you know. Right?
I think you're sort of trying to, like, deflect. You just... Yeah. And I like how you just, like, nonchalantly... You were like, well, you know, now that we all three have our nicknames that are all set in stone,
I force the situation.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and now you're trying to sort of put a suggested nickname on Vocab. And I feel like there's some accountability that needs
necessary.
To be talked about here.
Okay.
You can't make this happen.
Did this whole segment go by so already?
Yeah. All right, it's gone.
Okay, here we go. So what we're going to do is we got a lot prepared for you guys. We're going to go through all these clips and everything else. So we're going to go quickly. We do have to respond to Flabby Pack Radio.
Yes.
All right, because it's just getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I thought we're done with this.
Mm-hmm.
Over. I mean, but then we have to talk about it again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the things that they say about us, just, like, I mean, personally, I'm not really offended.
I've been told they have... This next upcoming episode, they really laid the smack down. That's what I've heard.
I think that Vocab goes over to his Facebook page every once in a while. He reloads the page. He sits there all day reloading. Any more likes? Reloading. And then he just goes, all right, it's time to say something else. So that Apology or Radio talks about Fanny Pack Radio.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then we get more fame.
Yep.
Fan base. City.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're going to do that right now. That's Luke.
It's me.
The bear. That's the girl. The ninja. We're going to talk about Flabby Pack Radio. When we come back, apologyradio.com.
Apology Radio will be right back.
So before we get to our guest and topic proper, Pastor Bob, it's always good to see you.
Well, I mean, when I was gone, did you say sometimes, Pastor Bob? I mean, V misses one show and you're...
We said
sometimes.
Well, that would be about the least of your worries as far as what we said. We said much worse things.
I should probably check those out.
You probably should listen to all of them. Actually,
yeah. I wonder if Jeff would give me a job.
If Jeff would give you a job, if Jeff could pay anyone, sure, maybe he would. I mean, he needs a little bit of Presbyterian credibility. They're about one step away from becoming Paedo-Baptist over there. I have a feeling.
Really? Oh, well, yeah. They're already postmillennial, so I mean, I think that'd be.
And you probably didn't know
our guest here today might, yeah.
They're doing family integrated worship now. So, I mean, I'm which is all good. I'm just saying, they're just one step away. Which, Jason's smiling.
You know, when you read the Bible a lot, that's what happens.
Boom.
Yes. So, okay. So let's start off the show with one little feedback, Pastor Bob. We've had a lot of feedback from recent shows, and so let's work them in here. The first one's from Daniel Johnson of Atlanta, Georgia. What's he say to us?
Yeah. Do you know him? Did you know him?
He's from the ATL. That's all I know.
Okay. So, hey, guys, just wanted to show some love to the show. I've been on a BPR binge for the past 3 days at work. Oh,
that's unfortunate.
I don't know how good that is. And it's truly been edifying. Love all the debates and the discussion you have with scholars. Absolutely one of my favorite podcasts to listen to, right above the one show that constantly brags about their facial hair.
Amen.
And rarely, in quotes, talks about postmillennialism. Please keep these them shows coming, and I'll be spreading the word. God bless.
What show do you think he's talking about that constantly brags about their facial hair?
So I guess now I haven't heard the show. So the rarely in quotes, does that mean they talk about it all the time?
Yes.
Okay. And they do?
Yes, they do.
I see. Okay.
You didn't know this?
Well, I didn't know they talked about it all the time. I mean, I know they're on, you know, I mean, they have their hobby horses.
They have multiple hobby horses. Postmillennialism is definitely one of them.
Yes. But, and then they brag about their facial hair?
Often.
Really?
Even Joy says she has a spiritual beard.
Oh, okay. I've not met Joy, so I was going to ask about her facial hair.
Yes.
But it's spiritual.
Yeah. Which reminds me of a joke.
I'm not even going to play the joke of this terrible.
A spiritual beard.
It's not a spiritual beard. It's not like I actually have a physical beard that's spiritual. It's a spirit beard. That means it is in spirit.
Yes. A spiritual beard. Okay. First point. All right. If Jeff could pay Bob. Granted.
Ouch.
Agreed. B, we're a step away from being Presbyterian.
I say Presbyterians are a step away from being us.
Yeah. Reverse that. Reverse that joint. We always talk about postmillennialism.
Yeah, Chad, I said it.
Yeah, we always talk about postmillennialism. Granted. But what, I mean, he said they were, we're always talking about, it's our hobby horse. What, because we don't talk about.
What, truth?
Yeah,
what,
being,
truth
if being
is a hobby
deeply
horse?
Committed to truth is a hobby horse, then okay. I'll take it.
Boom. I love how Pastor Bob just threw the smack down on him when he's dissing Post Mill, which is essentially Presbyterian, when he's dissing family integrated worship. You know, he was dissing, and they even go family integrated worship. Pastor Bob said, well, that's what happens when you read the Bible. I was like, yeah, Pastor Bob.
They said it, not us.
That's right. That's right. Family integrated.
Well, here I have a couple more comments that I miss. Wait, were you going to say something?
No, I just said woo-woo.
Well, what's a hobby horse? What's the hobby horse of Backpack Radio? We just get to sit and listen to vocab talk about
Comic-Con?
We get to sit and listen to vocab talk about how he's a semi-retired hip-hop artist.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
For an hour. He's like, oh, semi-retired, semi-retired. Word, 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 word.
As much as we're dissing Backpack Radio right now, that was just... like the worst impression. I think you could probably do better.
Hey, y'all, hey, word. Comments.
Okay. Yes. Glory is the subject. I don't think you read this. By the Briggs. A fun way to learn to defend God's truth in a biblical, loving, and effective way. Also a great way to start thinking critically and filtering everything through a biblical perspective.
Very good. How many stars was that?
Oh, it was five.
Wow, five stars.
And
baby.
Then I don't think I read this one either. Fun, Lively, Deep, and Challenging by Brother John H. Did I read this one?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. The show is fun and funny, yet challenges long-held traditions that I didn't even know were there. Sorry, I was like premillennialism, historical, even.
Like vocabs?
Yeah. Good guests and upbeat discussions. I love listening to the shows. And here's one that's really old that I keep forgetting to read. It's by somebody named AJR Comedian. Says awesome. Bring me back. I mean, that comedian guy, Anthony, I think. Awesome show. Which Anthony got me pizza last night.
I know.
Gracias.
I saw
amigo.
You try to speak like an Espanol.
It was pretty good, I think. I think I nailed it.
Yes. So, hey, you just heard the comments from the iTunes subscription channel. So you can do the same. Go subscribe to us on iTunes, leave a comment, and rate us on iTunes. The more you do that, the more we'll be able to get into the culture, Apologia Radio, so we can respond to the types of things that you're listening to today. We're right back, guys, with our response to Natural Mama, her video, I Love Abortion, and her new video, I Love Killing Babies. Yes, that's what she said.
Apologia Radio. We'll be right back.
Luke, I am not your father. You are listening to Apologia Radio. Here are your hosts, Luke Bearwalker.
I'll never turn to the dark side.
J2D2. And J3TO.
Use the comm link. Oh my.
ApologiaRadio.com. Get us. Go to our Facebook page. Like the Facebook page. Check out our YouTube channel, Apologia Church on YouTube. tons of helpful resources and all that. That's Joy the Girl, Luke the Bear. We're back. We're going to respond to as much of the remaining portion of the I Love Abortion video in support of Emily Letts by Natural Mama on YouTube as we can, and try to get through some of the points that we can get through on her video response. By the way, I didn't mention, I don't think really clearly, that the initial video was I Love Abortion exclamation point in support of Emily Letts. That's what she chose to do. She put that up. That's why it came up in my feed. It was a relevant video suggested, all that stuff. So in response to our show, she actually does a new video. And in the new video, it simply has as the title, I Love Killing Babies. Now, all right, maybe you're just being, you know, cavalier and kind of, you know, pompous or whatever you're doing. I find it disturbing that anybody would ever even put that up even as a joke. Okay?
Yes.
But I Love Killing Babies is the new video she puts up. So anyway, here we go. We're going to get right through the remainder of the video, again, as much as is possible, and try to comment as we go along.
Or they were saying that if you say that it's not a baby, then that hurts lost mothers. But scientifically speaking, it's not a baby. It's a fetus. But let me try to...
So that's kind of where we left off last time, was it's not a baby, it's a fetus scientifically. Now, by the way, if you look at her response video, she did not respond to our arguments. We read just a few quotes out of a myriad of quotes that could be brought to bear on this issue of the embryo, the human embryo, at the moment of conception. It's just no argument. Okay, that can be sustained in a coherent fashion any longer this day besides the foundational truth of what God tells us with certainty in his word about the nature of the unborn child. You have today embryology and an embryologist that would take you to task, Natural Mama, on the issue of what is in the womb. It is, biologically speaking, a human being from the moment of conception. Mm-hmm. It is distinct, a distinct life, different than you. And yes, I repeated it on last show, and I will do it again because you haven't yet responded to it. And so how many times is he going to say that?
Yeah.
It's not a baby. It's a fetus.
Yeah.
The Latin term is a scientific term from Latin that means baby or small child. Mm. You didn't have a response to it. You just kept saying in your video, why does he keep saying that? How many times is he going to say that? Because you haven't caught it.
Mm.
You haven't caught the significance of it. You use a scientific term, which is Latin, that just simply means what you just said, baby or small child.
And I was going to say, we just got another ultrasound on Monday, and we saw arms and legs flailing around and face and the heart. Like, there's no denying
that's a baby. And you know who also would disagree with you, Natural Mama? Atheist.
And that's 15 weeks.
Yeah. Atheists like Christopher Hitchens, who was a strong supporter, pro-life supporter, based on what? As a materialist, as an atheist who believed in biological, neo-Darwinian, micromutation, macroevolutionary worldview, as you do, he believed the same thing you do. Ultimately, about where we come from and where we're going, ultimately, he was a strong supporter of the pro-life movement because of the biological fact that you are a human from conception. And so as an example of that played out in discussion, I want you to hear Christopher Hitchens, famous atheist who is now dead. I want you to hear him responding to somebody about the embryo.
My question is for you. As an atheist, are as follows. First, what exactly do you think the nature of preborn humans is? And second, on what grounds do you argue with your materialist friends who disagree with you that they are deserving of some protection and that they have value?
Right. Well, it's a materialist question to begin with. I mean, embryology is a materialist science, and even if you didn't think that before the recent discoveries about, say, the early viability of an unborn child or fetus, embryo, whatever you wish to call it, there was no question that it was alive. It wasn't just a jungle of cells or a tumor or an appendix, as some feminists used to refer to the unborn. In my memory, it was said it was simply a growth on and of the woman's body, not a separate thing, not a living thing.
Not the early feminists.
The question would resolve itself to me like this. It's obviously alive. There's an element of casuistry in asking, well, what kind of alive is it? I mean, if it's a life, it must be a human one. It can't be a non-human or inhuman one. So all these questions are decided that way. I'm not a pacifist. I don't think that there are no circumstances in which a, a human life can be taken, or the balance of one life doesn't have to be measured by all kinds of means against another. But I think that it's extraordinarily objectionable to exclude the occupant of the womb from this as if they weren't candidate members of the human race.
So there is a materialist atheist who is now dead, Christopher Hitchens, one of my favorite atheists ever, that is quite on our side on this. Why? Not, again, from a Christian perspective, with God, the creator of life and inherent human value and dignity as image bearers of God, but just saying from a biological perspective, you have human life from the moment of conception. What we said to you on the radio show was that the only difference between what's there then and what you are today is a difference of degree. We gave you the sled argument, size, level of development, environment, and degree of dependence. That's what we gave you. You didn't respond to it because, see, we're talking about biology. We're actually stepping into your worldview here, and you're talking about science. You're saying, oh, science, science, science. Well, look at the biological situation. What do you have there at the moment of conception? A unique human life different than you. And what's different? Size, level of development, environment, degree of dependence.
Yeah.
That's the only difference biologically speaking. And again, your argument in this case is not with us as the Christians. You need to start arguing with men like Christopher Hitchens, who are atheists that hold your worldview that disagree with you. Why? On biological terms. It's a human life. The difference is a difference of degree, and that's it. You're arguing you should be able to kill it because you ultimately want to.
In her response video, I just remembered when you start spelling out sled, she like doesn't even listen when you say. She just goes, oh good, he can spell sled.
Yeah.
And then about 10 minutes later, she goes, oh, it was an acronym.
Yeah, that's why you should take some time to listen to what people are saying to you before you respond, but so you accurately represent them. But here we go. I love abortion. Here's more.
To illustrate the difference here, you have a woman over here who wanted to be pregnant and got pregnant and was overjoyed. She was very happy and she wanted to continue her pregnancy. Now let's say you have a woman over here who got pregnant unexpectedly and she wasn't ready for it. Maybe the boyfriend's not around. Maybe she's too young. Maybe she's still in school. Maybe she doesn't have a good job. Maybe she just doesn't want to be pregnant right now. It doesn't matter what her reasons are. So this woman can go.
It's amazing. It's amazing that when this debate started, when you talk about issues like Roe v. Wade, and it was really, I think, the Supreme Court versus the state of Texas was the actual name of the whole discussion. It's so funny. You didn't have necessarily this kind of argumentation.
Oh, no.
When it was put on the books, it was because the life of the mother, rape, incest, these kinds of discussions. We can get into those discussions, no problem. But it wasn't what this woman is fighting for. Because she just wants to.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to be pregnant. Well,
and that's, I mean, if you go back and listen to how many times she says want,
right.
That's really her only qualification of life is if you want it to be a life.
Yes.
If the mom, it's tragic if you have a miscarriage because you wanted the baby. It's not tragic if you have an abortion because you just didn't want the baby. She right. doesn't want to be pregnant right now.
And the basis for crying or being upset about it is essentially on whether or not you wanted it.
Yes. Yeah.
And let's play it out. Use your standard, natural mama. Use your standard and stay on it and be consistent. Stand on your standard. Your standard is it's a valuable human life and worthy to mourn over, okay, ultimately. Mm-hmm. If you want it,
yeah.
If you don't want it, then you can kill it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now let's use your standard. Be consistent with it. Now argue with the murderer of their 3-year-old child, their 4-year-old child, 5-year-old child, who says, "I didn't want them,"
or someone who murders their wife or girlfriend or whoever,
right.
While the baby is still in the womb,
yeah,
and then they go to jail, but they're saying, I didn't want that baby.
So the argument is not logical. Mm-hmm. It's not consistent. And guess what else, natural mama, because you constantly trumpet it as if it's something on your side as an atheist, and it's not. The issue of science. Your statements aren't even scientific. Mm-mm. And the issue of human personhood, all those different things, they're not even scientifically based. They're just emotionally driven. Maybe she just doesn't want to be pregnant. Mm-hmm. Great. So you, because you don't want to be pregnant, you can kill another human life.
Yeah.
So
get an abortion and she can feel happy about it. She's allowed to be relieved that she had the option of an abortion. This woman, if she loses her pregnancy, she's allowed to be devastated. And these women's feelings do not cancel each other out. They don't, like, no. We as women should be lifting each other up and supporting.
These women's feelings don't cancel each other out. No, the problem is Natural Mama, and you can't see it because of your attachment to this very, very inconsistent position, is that it's confusing and contradictory because you offer no basis as to why it would be a problem at all. Because you say, fundamentally, it's not a baby, it's a fetus. And yes, I'm going to say it to you again. You just said it's not a baby, it's a baby, okay? You heard it again, and I'll keep repeating it because it's a fact. But your problem here is in a sense of what's a functional argument, you've created this absurd situation. I don't want it, so I don't have to. I can celebrate killing it. I did want it, so now I need to mourn over it. On what basis? On what basis? Mm-hmm. What scientific, biological basis is there to mourn over something that you say is not a human life? It's an inconsistent position, and you can't see it because ultimately we would say it's your sin that's blinded you. Do you have something to say, Luke, there?
Well, I was just going to say earlier, she's shown that it doesn't matter all the different, you know, well, scientific is on a baby or all the different excuses she has why it's okay to have an abortion. She completely, to use her word, canceled all those out when she said it doesn't matter if she doesn't want it, she can kill it.
Right, right.
So it doesn't matter. You can throw out every excuse, every reason. It doesn't really matter in your position. You don't care. It, you know, the baby, we could like develop a way to talk to the baby in the womb and communicate with the baby, and the baby could say, hey, I'm a baby, don't kill me, and you wouldn't care, you'd still kill it because you don't want it.
It's reproductive right, is what you'd argue. Now, watch this. Here's what happens in an inconsistent position like this. We're going to find the inconsistencies. They're going to pop up in your life. For example, she says, it's not a baby, it's a fetus. It's not a baby, it's a fetus, because for her argument here, she wants to support the pro-abort position. The position that you should be able to murder your child. So she wants to say you should be able to kill it if you want to, but she doesn't live consistently with that proof. And by the way, I have to do this because you've engaged in the discussion here. Natural Mama, you have a video you posted up a while back, not related to this one, with your husband about the birth of your first child.
You were scared. I was 19. You were 16. I was really scared.
I was 16. I was really scared.
I was afraid of jail time.
Someone asked me my experiences when I found out I was pregnant for the first time, and they said that they're 18 and just found out that they're expecting and would love to hear about my experience as a teen parent. Mm-hmm. So I'll talk about this really briefly, maybe, hopefully. But when I found out I was pregnant for the first time, I was obviously really terrified, really scared, and I told my mom that night that I was pregnant, and we stayed up until 4 in the morning crying. I was bawling. We cried, like, together until 4 in the morning, and then finally, my mom told me to stop crying because I was stressing out her grandbaby. And that's when I kind of knew that everything was going to be okay because my mom was, like, supporting me and my mom.
So when you're pregnant with your beautiful, precious, wonderful daughter, when you're pregnant with her, your mom comforted you. This is your video. I know it's very personal, but this issue is very personal. It affects people. In your case, your mother encouraged you and supported you with the knowledge that you're stressing out my grandbaby, her grandbaby. You don't live consistently with your position. You know the truth of what this is. We'd encourage you to let it go and turn from it to Christ for life.
How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward? Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps, local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America, One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com. The profanation of marriage is gaining legs within our culture with the same-sex marriage debate. This is, church, a gospel issue. We have to be salt. We must be light on this issue of same-sex marriage.
This is Joy Temby with Apologia Radio. I urge you guys to pray for the homosexual community, then log on to realharmony.org to equip yourselves with the resources we've provided.
This is the Ministry Bear. Here's the issue. The same-sex attracted community has a symbol that's universally recognized. It's an equal sign. You see it everywhere. Until now, the Christian community has not had a symbol that represents true, harmonious, biblical marriage. Go to realharmony.org and buy a sticker. They're $3 a piece. Get your church to buy them by the truckloads. Help us redeem the culture. And let me reiterate, this is not a political issue only. This is a gospel issue. Realharmony.org.
Go check out, guys, the American Vision at AmericanVision.com. Go to their bookstore. Excellent resources on worldview issues, apologetics, eschatology, very important stuff. Go check them out. Our boys over there at American Vision, Gary DeMar, Joel McDermott, check them out. Also, go over to Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get started with some courses at Whitfield College or Whitfield Theological Seminary with our good friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot. Hook him up with a phone call, guys. Get connected. So, all right, guys, we're going to continue on now with a discussion on the video originally posted, I Love Abortion in Support of Emily Letts. Here we go.
Supporting each other's stories, whether they're positive or negative, we should be supporting each other. So let me get into another important concept for why abortion is necessary. There is a basic right called bodily autonomy, and it's generally considered to be a right these days. Bodily autonomy means that nobody can use your body without your consent. It's what makes rape so horrible. It's the reason why you have to give consent to be an organ donor even after you die. If you die and you are not an organ donor, you did not get consent for somebody to use your organs, then they can't take your organs. Even after you're dead, they still belong to you.
Oh, here we go. So the reason I was so kind of upset the first week we did the video, we didn't get to this portion, is I found this the most vivid display of the collapse of her position, the bodily autonomy argument. Mm-hmm. The bodily autonomy argument, I thought, was something that we needed to get to, and I thought it was unfortunate we didn't get to it because I think it's so vitally important. Okay, so let's talk about from a biological situation of thinking through this in the sense of what is there. Now, by the way, this I have to mention this in the video, guys. It's so hard to hear it, and it almost becomes something that is not worthy of response. But because this has come up, we have to deal with it. They were talking about the issue of biological life. We're saying when the male and female come together, they create unique, distinct life. At the moment of conception, there is its own unique life mm-hmm. and language of DNA. All that, the distinct human being is there, and there will never be a repeat of that. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, they actually went so far as to say, to try to compare that with sperm mm-hmm. or a woman's monthly cycle and try to say, well, we lose those all the time, and you're not crying about that. Is this really that hard to understand? Is it really that hard to understand that the argument here is when you have the combination of the male and female together, a unique human life is created at that moment? Is it so hard to understand that? I don't think for most people. I think for guys like Christopher Hitchens, an atheist, a materialist, an evolutionist, he understood that distinction. For some reason, Natural Mama doesn't. But bodily autonomy, notice something. What makes something a body? What makes something a body? Is it a body if all the parts and pieces are there? You could make that argument because you would say, no, the essence of human being is there. Because what about the war veteran that comes home with no arms and no legs? Right. Does he not have a body because there's less of him now? You would say, of course not. No, he's a human being by what? Nature. The nature or substance of that thing makes up its body, okay? The substance or nature. And you cannot argue at all with God of what that is. And you cannot argue with the science today. It is, at conception, a human being from conception. The difference is degree. So the body is there, distinct from yours. And if your argument is bodily autonomy is a basic human right, then guess what? By your own standard, that life in you has its own distinct rights and its own autonomy. And you say, as the basis of your argument, nobody can use your body without your consent. Great. Let's use your standard. Be right. Consistent, Natural Mama. Let's use your standard. Nobody can use your body without your consent. And you bring up the issue of rape. That's why rape is so wrong. Right. What's wrong in rape, Natural Mama? Somebody is doing something to somebody else's body, taking liberties with their body that they ought not to take. Correct? By your own standard, you have refuted yourself. The human life within a woman is its own distinct human life, never to be repeated. It's distinct from you. It's not you. And your argument of bodily autonomy applies to it as well. And your argument that nobody can use your body without your consent is the strongest argument against abortion. And if you are against rape, I would ask you to think through why. First of all, as an atheist, you have no basis to be morally indignant with rape at all. None. You may not prefer it, but you have no objective basis to condemn it. Just say, well, for me, I think it's wrong. And I got a couple other bags of stardust that happen to agree. But guess what? The rapist doesn't have to agree with you. You have no authority over him. But what's wrong with rape? Taking liberties with someone's body that you ought not to take, doing things with them, violating their person. What is fundamentally occurring at every single abortion clinic in America daily? Taking liberties with and doing things to other people's bodies that you ought not to take. That is abortion. Your bodily autonomy argument is self-refuting. And you just can't see it. Because you haven't taken a step back to think about what you're saying. And beyond that, and I want to see you guys jump in here. Please get ready to say something here. I got to say this. You actually did something interesting. You said, and you're arguing for it, that even when somebody dies, they have the right to their own bodily autonomy, even when they're dead. Well, wait a second. Think about your argument, Natural Mama. What makes a person in your view? Is it the ability to think? Is it that they're breathing, thinking, capable, that they're actually functioning? Is that maybe what your argument is? Like, it's a baby when it comes out? Mm-hmm. Like, then it's been fully prepared and cooked and like, it, boop, bing, it's done. Why? Because what? It functions, breathes, heart beats, there's brain function, can feel pain. What about the dead person? You're arguing they still have bodily autonomy when they're dead. Mm. Why? Because you know within you the nature of human being is still there. Even though there's no brain function, even though there's no lung function, even though there's no heart function, guess what? You still argue that the nature there deserves autonomy, is what you're saying. Well, guess what? You've just refuted yourself again. Because that dead person actually is less living than the initial stages of human life. Isn't it interesting that the very argument you use as the basis of why we should be able to murder children refutes itself?
Why? She kept in her response video, she said over and over and over how this was her main point, and, you know, she's upset that we didn't get to it, which we look at it and say, well, you know, this, like you said, this completely refutes your entire position. But they did say something. I think in the response video, they say, well, you know, the fetus is a parasite, you know, which we've already shown as a foolish argument.
Right. It's a human life.
Yeah.
Atheists would disagree with you on this.
Yeah. Well, then my question to her is, say you have someone outside of the womb that maybe is not able to breathe on their own and technically would be a parasite to society because somebody is paying for it. Should we just off them too?
Be consistent. There is no consistency found right here. You're not going to find it. People say, well, people ask, you know, well, what would they respond with? The truth is, oftentimes, mockery, laughing, nothing. Mm-hmm. Self-refuting statements like bodily autonomy arguments in the area of abortion, condemning rape. Mm-hmm. The fact, natural, that you actually condemn rape and support abortion is a self-refuting mm-hmm. position. It is self-refuting. And if you, again, you say, well, it's not fully developed yet. When do you kill humans because they're not fully developed? Yeah. Are 5-year-olds as developed as 10-year-olds, as 12-year-olds, as 30-year-olds, as 60-year-olds? And by the way, the fact that you actually brought up the issue of a dead person having bodily autonomy and their organs cannot be tampered with unless they've given consent, they're dead. They have less function and ability mm-hmm. than what's at the beginning stages in the womb.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? And she can't see it.
So, I mean, the person that takes that body, they could just say, well, there's a lot of people out there that need organs. I know this person's not an organ donor, but I want them to be. Right. I want them to be an organ donor because maybe they just made the wrong decision. Like, you know, I'm in charge of this person. I'm in charge of this body. And I want them to be an organ donor now. Is that against the law?
Right.
You can't just take, just because something is in your charge, you're in charge of it, doesn't mean you can just like do whatever you want with it because you're in charge of it.
Right.
And it can't speak for itself.
Right.
It's still, like you said, it's the law. It's the law that a coroner can't just say like, just, you know, make a little mark, organ donor.
Right.
Like you can't do that. Right. Even with a dead person that cells, dead, nothing, no more cell division, no nothing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, what if someone said, I don't want that person. Let's just rip it limb from limb. Let's pour acid on it. I don't want it anymore.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that, by the way, the rest of our video discussing the issue of Matt Walsh and the posting of abortion pictures. But let me remind you of something, Natural Mama, as an atheist, we would call you to consistency on. And I want to hear your response to this, if possible. This is Dr. Will Provine, professor of biology at Cornell University, on evolution, free will, morality, and everything else. Now, he's being honest here. I'd like to see you try to start being honest with your position, because here's what he says about where we're at.
No gods, no life after death, no ultimate foundation for ethics, no ultimate meaning in life, and no human free will are all deeply connected to an evolutionary perspective. You're here today and you're gone tomorrow, and that's all there is to it.
Doctor.
So there you go, Dr. Will Provine. Now, here is an atheist being consistent with his atheism. He's telling the truth about it. Now, by the way, we would argue he's not always going to be consistent because he's in the image of God. He won't be able to live consistently with that, and he doesn't. Right. But in this moment, he is being consistent with the implications of an evolutionary naturalist worldview that, Natural Mama, you essentially hold to. No God. We're all just the result of blind and purposeless forces acting on matter. It's a cosmically indifferent universe. There is no God, no personal order or governance to it. We've all evolved through naturalistic processes that did not have us in mind alongside weeds, broccoli, and dirt. And so Will Provine here is being honest about those implications that arise after that. And he says what? No ultimate foundation for ethics. And here you are, Natural Mama, complaining about what other bags of stardust do in a godless universe that does not care. Foundationally speaking, your rejection of God has led you to futility, self-refuting argumentation, like you've engaged in this video. We'll be back with more, guys, with the girl and the bear right here on Apologia Radio, apologiaradio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Apologia Radio, we're back. Make sure you subscribe to us again on iTunes. Support the work of Apologia Radio at apologiaradio.com. You can donate to the work and ministry of Apologia Church. Partner with us at the radio page. Donate there. Pray for us. Share our episodes. All right, guys. So we're going to come right back now into the discussion with Natural Mama. We're moving fast here on the subject of abortion. I love abortion. Here we go.
Consent is super, super important. For some reason, people think that a woman that gets pregnant loses the right to her bodily autonomy. Like, whoops, you chose to have sex. You are just a slut, and now you have to be punished by staying pregnant and having...
No, you're going to punish the baby.
It's hard to even
fathom. Well, especially, I mean, when you use arguments like rape is rape in terms of like bodily autonomy and stuff. So you are equating a baby to a rapist.
Mm. And the fact that she cannot even acknowledge the distinct human life within her. It's all about the woman. It's all about my body, my body, my body. The point is we're forgetting something so important. What about the baby?
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about the baby. It's all about your autonomy, about your body. The fact of the matter is you have this beautiful life within you that you recognize, Natural Mama, you recognize it as beautiful because it's what calmed you down in your personal testimony about how scared you were as a young girl, which, by the way, I recognize because my wife and I were extremely young when we had our first child. I understand those feelings and those difficulties, but it's what calmed you down. It's what sets you right when your mother said to you, "You're stressing out my grandbaby." And according to your testimony, this was super early on. You know that you're not living consistently with your own basic position.
This other thing that's not even a sentient being yet, use your...
It's not even a sentient being yet, except when we talk about dead people, they still have autonomy.
Mm.
Really? Sentient being? Is that really your position? It's not your real position, is it? Because you've already argued less than 60 seconds prior to this. You argue that even dead people who have no brain function, they're not breathing, no blood flow, nothing's going on. They're dead. They're dead. And you still say they have bodily autonomy. And yet this baby now who's living, who probably has its heart pumping in most abortions, brain function, fingernails, toenails, hair, their furring, their eyebrow, all the different things that they do early on in the womb, they're less deserving of life than the dead person you just talked about because you want to take its organs?
Hmm. Body for 9 months. No, what? What? That's ridiculous. Like, it's almost comical, but we should...
No, there's nothing funny about this. This is not a funny discussion topic. Nothing. There's nothing funny about this at all. It's not comical when people try to point out to you that that's a distinct human life that your mother called her grandbaby in you. And we say you should not ever think to kill that life. Nothing funny about that. And when you say, but it's my body, it becomes an irrelevant foundation when you talk about the distinct human life that's within you. We always forget the baby. Always.
Know better by now. Women have a right to bodily autonomy. Women have the right.
Women have the right to bodily autonomy. What about the young woman in the womb? Does she have a right to her bodily autonomy? You see, this is the point. Natural woman is not living consistently with her position. Women have the right to bodily autonomy. Okay, let's scratch males for a second. Mm-hmm. Okay, how about male babies? We'll take them out of the picture. How about the female babies in the womb? Feminist, right? You're the feminist. You're the feminist. All right, let me hear you as a feminist defend those little women in the womb. Mm-hmm. That's when I'll believe that somebody is really a consistent feminist.
Mm-hmm.
I'll believe that.
Yeah.
When they start fighting for the lives of these little women in the womb, I'll believe it. But you see, I want to hear the feminists stand up now for the little women in the womb. 500,000 little women every year in America killed daily. Today, while you listen to this show, probably babies in the world, little girls being killed. Let me hear you, Natural Mama, the feminist, let me hear you defend the little women in the womb.
To make decisions about their reproduction. They have the right to...
You haven't made decisions about your reproduction. You're arguing, this is so important, you're arguing for the ability to reduce life, to deduct it, to get it out, not reproduce. You've already reproduced. That's the discussion's over now beyond reproduction. We're arguing about your claim that you can kill it now, okay? Defensive murder.
Use birth control, and they have the right to an abortion if they get pregnant and they don't want to be pregnant. Consent to sex is not consent to pregnancy. Have you noticed that the only time we deny medical care to someone, or we try to justify denying medical care to someone, is with an abortion? Like, if you shoot yourself and you go to the hospital, they're going to treat you. The doctors aren't going to be like, oh, you shot yourself? Well, like, you shouldn't have been playing with a gun if you didn't want to get shot. It's your own fault. Now you have to deal with that. You need to take responsibility for your actions. Even if you get an STD or STI, even if you get an STI and you go to get treated for it, they're going to treat you for it. They're not going to say, oh, I'm sorry, consent to sex is consent to an STI. You're screwed. I'm sorry.
Yeah, our culture doesn't even know how to think in categories anymore.
No.
They don't even know how to think in a particular category over here and then over here, false analogies and everything across the board. Do you have anything you want to say to that? I mean,
So now getting pregnant is equivalent to being shot.
She's trying to make an analogy with STDs and pregnancy. I mean, the fact that you realize you've made an analogy between the STD and a baby.
Yeah.
Right? And the whole issue, and again, it doesn't make sense, does it? Because the category is all wrong. When people argue, and Joy made this argument last week, when people argue, well, I didn't want the pregnancy, but the point is you had sex. And by the way, people say, what about rape? What about rape? Listen, we'll talk about that. That only about 1% to 2% of abortions are done on the basis of rape. Okay, so you're talking a minute amount, right? But then again, we have to talk again about all the testimonies of people who are the products of a rape that are living today that would ask you, please don't argue that I should be murdered.
Yeah.
They're alive today and well today, and they are beautiful, wonderful, amazing people. And guess what? It wasn't their fault. Mm-hmm. And the argument against rape is the same argument against abortion, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to make a comment about her consent to pregnancy. Well, consent to sex is not consent to pregnancy. But it is. Consent to sex. I mean, what else?
Right.
So there's only really a handful of things that happen when you have sex.
Yeah.
The result is the final result is either you get pregnant or you don't get pregnant, you know?
Right.
But I would say that in that, so if you change what she said mm-hmm. to consent to sex is consent to pregnancy, then I mean, there you go. That encompasses the rape argument because it involves consent. So of course we're not, if you're not consenting to sex, then you're not consenting to the pregnancy. But even that argument has nothing to do with killing a baby.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm tired of, like you said, there's no categories here. That we can just, pregnancy is the same as rape.
Right.
And I'm just wondering, goodness gracious, moms, if you're an atheist or whatever, consider your pregnancy. Was it this horrible, horrible experience where you just had this parasite eating off of you for 9 months? Or was it beautiful and painful? And at the end of it, this beautiful thing happened. Just please consider your own pregnancy. Was it this horrible event where this thing just leached off of you for 9 months? No.
You're right.
No.
Yeah, they don't live consistently with it. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Back with the bear, the girl, and me talking about YouTube video in support of Emily Letts, the woman who filmed herself having an abortion, placed the video online. There was a video done, and the video stated, I love abortion. This is a portion where Natural Mama doesn't like Matt Walsh, and so she makes these comments.
About Matt Walsh, he wrote a scathing article against Emily, and it made me furious. He included all these pictures of dead babies that supposedly are abortions. Who knows? Maybe they were stillbirths. Maybe they were miscarriages. Maybe some of them were actual abortions. Maybe that's completely irrelevant.
I don't care, right? That's the point. That's just be honest, Natural Mama. Just say it. Just say it. There you go. Just say it at the front. Don't wait to the very end. Just say it at the very front. I don't care. I don't care. Just say that. I don't care about these babies. It doesn't matter to me. Just be honest.
Emily was probably, what, 4 to 5 weeks pregnant when she had her abortion? It did not look like the pictures Matt Walsh is showing you.
All right, so let's do it. Joy, she says Emily Letts was about 4 to 5 weeks when she was pregnant. Let's talk about that. Besides moving away from the obvious fact that it's a human life from the moment of conception, and your argument, by the way, should be now with Christopher Hitchens as well, because he's making the same argument, was making the same argument. So argue with Christopher Hitchens. Don't argue with the Christians here. Argue with Christopher Hitchens. Argue with the embryologists that disagree with you. Joy, 4 to 5 weeks.
Okay, so week 4, you're, well, basically, this is the point where your baby is called an embryo.
Okay.
It is an embryo. And so it doesn't quite look like a baby yet. Not that that's really a standard of what a baby is.
Of
but,
what its nature is, yeah.
But yeah, it's essentially, it's two layers of cells that are eventually going to develop, given time, going to develop into all the organs and body parts. Mm-hmm. And then it also, there's two other structures, the amnion and the yolk sac, which the yolk sac actually produces blood mm-hmm. for the embryo. So it's already independently producing blood in there.
Mm-hmm.
Not, obviously it's using nourishment from the mother, but it's producing blood. It's not the mother's blood going into there.
Mm.
So it's already independent in a way, you know, not complete. It's obviously dependent, but independent also. And then week 5. So this is only in the span of 1 week. This is when the embryo starts to look like a baby
mm-hmm.
and it has the shape of a baby. And then it has the neural tube, which is one day going to form into the spinal cord in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also in the shape of the baby, you can there's like a bulge on the baby that is going to develop into the baby's heart.
Mm-hmm. This is week what?
5.
Okay.
Week 5. And it looks like a baby. Also, this is when the placenta comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's hard. I guess I could see how people could say, well, it doesn't look like a baby. Because mm-hmm. the whole argument was there is that it doesn't look like a baby in week 4
mm-hmm.
to 5. But it does. In week 5, it will look like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also just, I feel the need to just point out that, like, we're not talking about, like, years it takes for it to start looking like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
It goes from being what they call two layers of cells. And 1 week later, it looks like a baby and has almost developed a heart and a brain.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Check this out. 18 days from conception, heart begins to beat with the baby's own blood.
Mm-hmm.
18 days from conception, heart begins to beat with the baby's own blood. So Emily Letts stopped a beating heart.
Yeah.
28 days from conception, a baby has eyes, ears, and even a tongue. 28 days from conception, muscles are developing along the future spine, arms and legs are budding. 30 days, child has grown 10,000 times to 6 to 7 millimeters long. Brain has human proportions, blood flows in veins. 42 days, skeleton is formed, brain coordinates movement of muscles and organs, reflex responses have begun. 42 days, brain waves can be detected. The jaw forms, including teeth and taste buds. The unborn baby begins to swallow amniotic fluid. Fingers and toes are developing. 45 days from conception, the unborn baby is making body movements. A full 12 weeks before the mother may notice such stirrings. By 7 weeks, the chest and abdomen are fully formed, swimming with a natural swimmer's stroke in the amniotic fluid. The baby now looks like a miniature human infant. 44 to 45 days, buds of milk teeth appear and the unborn baby's facial muscles develop. Eyelids begin to form, protecting developing eyes. Elbows take shape. Internal organs are present. 52 days, spontaneous movement begins. The unborn baby then develops a whole collection of moves over the next 4 weeks, including hiccuping, frowning, squinting, furrowing the brow, pursing the lips, moving individual arms and legs. At 52 days. ApologiaRadio.com.
We'll be right back.
This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio. Before I play this next clip, I want to warn you, if you are a parent with small children, you may want to pause this and listen to it later. If you're in the vehicle listening to this right now live on the radio, This next portion is a very detailed in the issue of abortion and graphic. And so I want to warn you, you may want to listen to this later. Just catch it at apologiaradio.com. Just a warning that this is very graphic in nature, not inappropriate for the radio, but may not be appropriate for children that are in a room. If you're very sensitive right now in the location you're at, just please be aware of that.
24 weeks of gestation. Imagine, if you can, that you're an obstetrician-gynecologist and a pro-choice obstetrician-gynecologist like I was, and your patient today is 17 years old. She's 24 weeks pregnant from last period. Her uterus is two finger breaths above her umbilicus. She's been feeling her baby kick for over a month. She's asleep on an operating room table, and you're there to help her with her problem. The first thing you do is withdraw the laminaria that was placed in the cervix. The dilation of the cervix that's required for a D&E abortion at that level takes at least 36 hours. Later abortions can, dilation of the cervix can necessitate almost 3 days of preparation prior to performance of the procedure. First thing you're going to reach is for a suction catheter. This is a 14 French suction catheter. It's about 9, 10 inches long. It's about 3/4 inch in diameter. And picture yourself, if you can, placing this through the cervix and instructing your circulating nurse to turn on the suction machine. What you'll see is pale yellow fluid running through this into the suction bottles of the machine. That was the amniotic fluid that was there to protect the baby. If this was a first trimester abortion, when her child would be that size or smaller, you could essentially do the entire abortion with this one instrument. A 24-week baby that we're describing here from last period is the length of your hand and a half again, from head to rump, not counting the legs. Babies that size don't fit through catheters this size. When you're done, reach for a Sofer clamp. This is one that I brought along so you could see what we're talking about. It's about 13 inches long. It's stainless steel. The business end on this clamp is about half inch wide and about 2.5 inches long. And there are rows of sharp teeth on this instrument. It's a grasping instrument, and when it gets a hold of something, it does not let go. A second trimester abortion at that stage is a blind procedure. You can't really see anything. Everything has to be done by feel. Picture yourself, if you can, reaching in with this instrument and grasping blindly anything you can, and pull hard. And when it finally pops free, out comes a leg that big, which you put down on the table next to you. And reach in with this again and grasp and pull hard. Out comes an arm about the same length, which you put down on the table next to you. And reach in with this instrument again and again and tear out the spine, the intestines, heart and lungs. Head of the baby about that age is maybe the size of a large plum. Again, the procedure is blind. You reach in, being careful not to perforate the uterus, and you have a pretty good idea you have it if you have your clamp around something and your arms, your fingers are spread about as far as they will go. You know you did it right if you crush down on the clamp and white material runs out of the cervix. That was the baby's brains. Then you can pull out skull pieces. If you had a day like I had a lot of days, sometimes a face comes back and stares back at you. Congratulations. You just successfully performed a second trimester D&E abortion. You just affirmed her right to choose.
That testimony was before Congress, a doctor who did 1,200 abortions. The man you just listened to performed 1,200 abortions, and he was asking Congress to ban them, to not allow them any longer. This is the true nature of abortion. This is what we're not talking about. And Natural Mama, it's what you don't want to talk about. It's what you can't ultimately respond to. You can't respond to the once pro-choice doctor who performed 1,200 of these things that you support a woman's right to do. You can't argue with his testimony about pulling the legs and arms, crushing the skull of a baby in a mother's womb. You can't argue with those things because that's the true nature of abortion you don't want to talk about. We want to sanitize it, make it look easy. And by the way, listen, the pictures that are easily accessible by anybody on a Google search of abortion range from very early on till 24 weeks like this. And guess what? It's all bloody. It's all bloody. It's all ugly. It's all arms and legs and hearts and lungs and intestines and skulls. It's all ugly. It's all murdering children. The difference is only a matter of degree and size, ultimately. There. This is horrific stuff. It's murder. It's just murder. All right, Pastor Luke, go ahead. You had some more things you wanted to contribute.
Yeah, well, I wanted to specifically respond to some links that she quoted in her original video, and then we asked, when we originally responded, we said, you know, we're like, where did you get those statistics from? So she posted links, so I want to talk about those. But before I do, just real quick, there was a couple things they said in their video I wanted to make sure we responded to. At one point, they said, how many babies have they adopted? And to date, zero. However, every time we go to the abortion mill, what do you say?
Every single time we go to the abortion mill, we offer to adopt every single baby. We have a lawyer on standby ready to write the contracts up. We have everything prepared. Yeah. We have church families committed to adopting every single baby. Every single time we go to the abortion mill, we offer to adopt every single one of those babies. But guess what those mothers tell us? Guess what? I couldn't let somebody else raise my baby. Mm. Do you know how many times I've heard that? Yep. I couldn't let somebody else raise my baby. The moms there would rather kill their own children than let someone else raise it.
Yep, and you went on a question how much, you know, support we offer. Like Jeff said, we offer full support. Whatever those mothers need, we offer. We have it available. And you guys questioned, you know, how much we've been involved with the foster care. A lot. My wife and I actually were getting ready to start classes for fostering to possibly adopt a child. And then she got pregnant, so that got put on hold.
And let's also remind her quickly, it's the Christian church in America that is ending the foster care system problem. It's the Christian church. Not, you don't see a lot of atheist organizations involved in these things. It's the Christian church that is solving the problem of orphans and adoption. We've got the basis for it. You don't.
Yes. And then one other thing before I get to the links. Several times you guys complained about how short of a time we had, and you complained about us having commercials. This is a brokered a radio program that we pay for. This isn't something we do to raise money. We have commercials to help us pay for the show. We have a time limit because it's brokered. It's on a radio station. We can't just sit in front of our computer for an hour and a half and say nothing. It's very scheduled, and that's why it's limited. That being said, the one specific statistic Natural Mama you brought up was the 90%? You said of women say they're relieved. I believe it was 90%, wasn't it?
I think something like that. Okay. It was, So one out of three women has an abortion. Which, by the way, we don't contest that.
Yeah,
we never contested that point.
How many? Yes, 90%. What is the stat they say? How many abortions are a year? They are guessing.
How many abortions in America?
Yeah, just in America.
There's about a million.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Okay. So so the study that she quoted,
as far as I know, a million in America.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. That's good enough. So the statistic you quoted, we researched 800 women, and it's approximately a week after an abortion. Now that is 0.0008% of the abortions done in 1 year. So it's a very small sampling, first of all. Okay, so now you said, well, 90% of the women feel relieved. Now, what you didn't read was the rest of the article, and they go on to say that 90% of these women are relieved after regret, guilt, sadness, and anger. Those are very important statistics you left out.
She failed to mention.
Yes.
From the very link.
Yes.
What is it again? Say those feelings.
Well, they were asked specifically about relief, happiness, regret, guilt, sadness, and anger. And then it said 90% of them felt relief after those initial negative feelings.
Right. And we would say, obviously, our primary concern here is for the baby, the life of the baby being murdered, right? But the fact of the matter is there's not even an honest play and interaction with the very resources she's provided.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Go ahead.
Okay. So then the other, I'm not going to go through all the links, but basically the other thing we questioned was, when does a baby feel pain? Which we kind of talked a little bit about. So she posted several links saying that, and even in her response video, she said it's a scientific consensus that babies don't feel pain. until at least 24 weeks.
Wrong.
That's just a lie.
That's just a lie.
There are liberal sources and that say that, but that's not the consensus. There's many. If you just continue to research it, instead of just looking at like the top link or whatever, there are many, many other scientists that have even testified before Congress that say, or scientists and doctors that say that babies can feel pain as early as, I believe, 6 weeks when the
6 to 8 weeks. And real fast too. Yes. Guess what? Here's the underlying issue is whether someone can feel pain or not.
Yeah.
The issue of whether or not you can have the right to murder them. Exactly. So if somebody's in a coma or sleeping and they won't feel the pain, can I murder them?
Yeah.
It's a self-refuting position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And I was just, exactly right. And what I was going to say was ultimately natural mama, it doesn't matter. It's completely arbitrary. It's completely subjective. You don't really care. Let's be honest. You don't care when the baby feels pain because you said it earlier. You said it. Ultimately, it's if the mother wants the baby or not, and that's what you care about.
Yeah, just be honest with that, right? It's comfort, yeah. Yeah, and she said, by the way, when you said you're worshiping the God of comfort, she said, what's better than the God of the Bible? And we say, I thought you'd think that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, ultimately, yes. Real quick, want to finish this last point here on the video. She said, I love killing babies. She said this. Let me get this going up here.
Okay, so I went to his Facebook page, and he praises in vitro fertilization as a good thing. Does he realize how many embryos are made and destroyed when they're not used during in vitro fertilization?
Hey, wait a minute.
Because that is definitely a thing. They are killing embryos to get...
Okay, first of all, you're creeping on my Facebook page.
But that's, but that's murder there of the embryos.
Yeah, yeah. So she's creeping
why is
on
she
my,
getting all riled up about
creeping
it?
Creeping on my Facebook page. Okay, first of all, Natural Mama, let me encourage you with something. And this is, I don't mean this in any way, in any spirit of arrogance whatsoever. It's best when you discuss something with somebody to, if you make a mistake, you acknowledge, okay, I made the mistake there, I apologize. And this is a place where you'd have to actually offer an apology. Okay? You need to accurately represent the side that you're arguing with. Play what they say. Try to interact. If you make a mistake, you apologize for it and say, please let me know what your real position is. The problem with your creeping on my Facebook page, okay, is not investigating what I actually believe. What I imagine you probably saw a link that my wife or I had put up regarding snowflake babies. Snowflake babies. And the issue of snowflake babies is this, is those are actual human beings.
Yeah.
They are embryos, right? And they are real, actual human beings. And snowflake babies, very interestingly, there are hundreds of thousands of these that, guess what, are now alive today because they've been placed into a surrogate mother and been able to actually be born. And guess what? If you would have just simply asked me, Natural Mama, or even looked at the website link that I probably placed on my page to nightlight.org, you would see this. Does Nightlight encourage the creation and freezing of embryos? No. We are trying to provide a loving option to the families of the over 600,000 embryos frozen in clinics throughout the U.S. Do you see that? Remember I said to you at Natural Mama last time, do your homework. This is one of those areas. Do your homework. I do not support the creation and destruction of human life at all. If you had asked me or researched at all, you would have seen that I absolutely abhor the situation we're in right now with in vitro fertilization, that there are 600,000 unique lives frozen right now waiting for mothers to give them a place where they can grow and be made alive. Hundreds of babies born to this day because of this. I do not support the creation and destruction of human life at any level. You misrepresented me there. Megan, I wonder if you'll apologize. I wonder if you'll apologize. I wonder if you'll admit wrong at all. Pride comes before the fall. Don't be haughty. Don't be arrogant in this. I pray that you have your eyes open to the absurdity of your position of rejection of God. Joy the girl.
See ya.
Love you, Joy. Luke the Bear.
Peace.
ApologiaRadioGuys.com. Get us, subscribe to us. Join the movement, guys, by giving at ApologiaRadio.com. Hi, this is Jeff Durbin, host at Apologia Radio, also the pastor at Apologia Church. You can get us at apologiachurch.com. We have officially moved to Sunday morning services. We want to invite you to come and worship with us. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, southwest corner of 60 and Rural at the Embassy Suites. We are committed to worshiping Christ in spirit and in truth, and to building strong biblical families, and to expositional through the Bible teaching. Please join us for worship as we work towards the exaltation of Christ throughout the world.
This is the Ministry Bear, also discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. The location we're meeting at the Embassy Suites at 4400 South Rural Road, and that's in Tempe. Again, we're meeting at 10 o'clock a.m. on Sunday mornings. Please join us, apologiachurch.com.
Embassy Suites, 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, apologiachurch.com.